far, they can come near. And those, especially those who are also good to make you, we are about to start now. It's a continuation of the meeting that again. So today, we're going to deal with completely new organizations that were not there. And if you were there, if you brought another presentation that was originally agreed upon in, when you interacted with the secretary, you won't say because I'm coming for the second time. If there was an arrangement that you are in the register of the NGOs to participate today, indeed you are very, very welcome. If we do, we do have members that are here. I will quickly request them to be introduce themselves because we might be having new people today. And then I will also request the members of the organization to present, to just introduce themselves so that we know that they are there and we call them when we know that we are ready to work. Can I request that the week please ask in this arrangement of introducing ourselves?
Thanks a lot, I'm Dr. Schoenberger. I'm Dr. Marcha, the Lofotis Committee.
It is very short. Can I request you to stay my friend so that we can see you?
Hello, I'm Dr. Marcha, and I am the Lofotis Committee. Thank you.
We're going to throw my honorable members.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Karen de Kok. I think we'll let one moment here.
Maureen Longke, Yanulisa, Ikamaram, the Mufim Road, Sundi, here, Plenkomis, Sarah Plenkomis, Inver.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lizo Panava, and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and NGOs that we're working with in the children's sector. My name is Colleen Mumalo. I'm the DDG responsible for welfare services in the department. I've got my colleagues here who quickly introduce themselves.
Good morning, members and representatives from the NGO sector. My name is Yabo Mashozi. I'm a director in the legal services unit in the development.
Good morning, my name is Angelana. I'm from Internal Communications Department.
My name is Lumka Oliphant. I work with the Department of Social Development.
Good morning, my name is Nelson Dawakulu. I work for the Department of Social Development in the Office of the DG.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Agnes Miller, Director for the Children's Act in the National Department of Social Development.
Good morning, my name is Sarah Maseto from the Children's Act Directorate, Department of Social Development.
Good morning, everyone. Connie Turner from the Mamani Project.
You are not department.
Morning, I'm Matako Nosebopela from Social Development. I'm in the Children's Act Directorate.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Are we through this department?
I'm calling last at the back.
Then all your team come next to you so that we don't mistake them for a NGO sector that has come to present to us today. Can we make those little arrangements? Earlier on, we just said that happened. Even the members that belong to the department, there are still chairs around here. Can you be one team, please? Again, we say so. What's in the landing? can we get the NGO later members introducing themselves?
Good morning, ma'am. This is from the Children's Institute of the University of Cape Town. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Britta Hornberg from World Childhood Foundation Sweden.
Yes.
Good morning, Paula Pavlov, Children's Institute, UCT.
Rahim Atwal, CWA Journalist.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Committee Members. I'm Shanaz Matthews from the Children's Institute, University of Cape Town.
Good morning, Vita Hansen, Go to the Center for Child Law.
Good morning, and Gus, Center for Child Law.
Good morning, my name is Sipas Banda from the Social Work Department at the University of Pretoria.
Good morning, my name is Faye from PNG.
If we again, I indeed want to express the gratitude that the committee has for your coming and your prioritization of this very important portfolio committee. It is my strongest belief as the chair that if we want social cohesion, if we want a better society, a caring society that we all clamoring for, we will start from the basics as a country to ensure that our children are brought up in an environment that is conducive for them to be having a discipline to inherit and to actually internalize the unwritten laws of norms and values of Ubuntu. So when these NGOs come here and make a presentation showing interest in the laws that will promote what we think as South Africans in a democratic state, non-racial, non-sexist, we believe that we must have a generation that goes up in that environment while trying to reorientate of those of my age and younger. It's not easy when you didn't grow up in that environment. So we better deal with the upcoming generations while working with a transformation within the other generations within our society. As for the universities that are actually doing some work in this, we will in future want to engage with you, listen to your other views insofar as our work is done. This conversation between us and universities must continue, and also try to take from the information and wealth of information you have. So Basho saying, I'm not saying other NGOs are not important. They are very important because all we believe in is the popular public participation in the lawmaking and in the oversight role of what the department is doing. And I think the department will have to strengthen its linkage with the NGO sector that they are working with, because actually they are doing your work. I believe that in the near future, the department will be busy crafting laws while the people will actually be taking up to actually manage their own lives on a daily basis, while the department is a champion to say, if you do this, this is what we are saying. These are your guidelines, these are your policies, this is what you should do. But communities have a right to say how they do that. So you are very welcome. Can I therefore, on that note, say, feel home, phone the secretary, phone us, we will always be there for you. But if our phones are silent, you must know that we are somewhere busy. But we can never neglect your message that you leave. We have a little bit of a change We were supposed to call Ms. Shana's nephews, but because they are documents from our experience yesterday, the PowerPoint has not been distributed. We're giving them an opportunity that we assist them with the facility so that they distribute also to yourselves so that you can have video record. We know they did submit, there is their document in our big document. However, because they'll do the PowerPoint, let's make it easy for them. So I hope they won't be disappointed with this. We can go now to the Center for Child Law, calling on Prof. N. Elton. I hope I have pronounced your name the right way. If not, I apologize upfront. Thank you very much. You can take your seat here, yeah, so that we can all see you. Are you ready, individual, Mr. Sipho Sibanda, are you ready?
Yes, Honorable Chair, I'm ready.
Okay, let's take the red one. While they are actually busy making arrangements, that we want to support you technically and otherwise to ensure that your coming here is not having any problems for you to give us that important information. Secretary, no one is wrong, but so far we need people to present the way they would want. Why don't you be here, my gentleman? Feel comfortable, eh? Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my fair colleagues, and our distinguished guests. Okay. I would like to please stand up. Will it be okay? Okay. Let me just try sitting down and think. Okay. My name is Victor Banda. I am a social work lecturer at the University of Pretoria. I am based in the social work department. I have 7 years of social work experience in the field of child protection. Prior to joining the University of Pretoria, I worked at the Jimiston Child Welfare. I also worked at the Johannesburg Child Welfare, firstly as a social worker. Secondly, I was promoted to being a social work supervisor. So I've been supervising a team of social workers. We were very, very excited when the new Children's Act was effected in April 2010. We celebrated, and then we heard from the UN agencies that this was the best act ever in the land. So we said, let us, we get to implement the best act ever in the land. So we started implementing the new Children's Act in April 2010. It was a good feeling. It was a good time for all of us. It was also a very difficult time for the social workers. Because at first, when we started implementing it and then we started seeing budget, wait a minute, there are some challenges here. Is this really what the Act intended to do?
then at first we were very, very patient. We thought maybe this is just a transition phase from the old Child Care Act into the new Children Act. Maybe things will improve. And we were patient. We waited and waited, but things did not improve. So then I decided, okay, me being the social work supervisor, how should I advise my younger social workers? Then I decided to enroll for a master's degree at the University of Pretoria, and with that it was titled Challenges Faced by Social Workers in Implementing the New Children's Act, because I wanted to gain some experience on how I would try to look at some of the possible amendments that could be made to the Children's Act. So today I will be presenting to you based on my social work experience and also based on the findings of my research study. I don't have too many sections to go through, but basically I will be talking to section 151A, I will also talk to section 152, I will also talk to section 171 and section 176. Okay. Regarding section 151A on the Children's Amendment Bill, this is one of the sections which actually is the grounds for finding children in need of care and protection. And the very, very first account, it is section 151A, which currently reads, a child is in need of care and protection if the child has been abandoned or orphaned and is without any visible means of support. From practice experience, this session has caused a lot of challenges, especially for the children that have been staying with their relatives, especially with their grandparents, and when social workers go to court and try to find these children in need of care and protection so that the relatives could access the foster care grant. Most presiding officers have been rejecting these applications, saying, wait, but this child is not without any visible means of support. I think my other colleagues would tell you, honorable members, more about the court cases, about the SS versus the presiding officer of the Children's Court, Krugersdorp, and others. Basically, what has been happening is that there has been a rejection of the grounds on the street and the literal basis of the visible means of support. So, what this amendment bill is saying is that this particular section should be amended to read and say that a child is in need of care and protection if the child has been abandoned or orphaned and does not ostensibly have the ability to support himself or herself. I say to you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that this particular amendment should not be accepted. In fact, it should be rejected, and I will present reasons for why we should reject this particular amendment. First, I would say, what does the word ostensibly really mean? Social workers have been struggling with the phrase without visible means of support. And that particular phrase has made it difficult for many children to be found in need of care and protection so that they could access the foster care grant. So if we put the phrase, the word ostensibly, this is an ambiguous word. It is even more ambiguous than the phrase visible means of support. Authenticity is a very subjective and it is a very relative word. It means something that is not certain, something that has not been established, and its synonyms are words like apparently, supposedly, seemingly, superficially, presumably. Yet when the social workers do their report, it must be based on facts and the evidence, and it must not be based on something that is presumably or on something that is not seemingly. So I think we actually do not really need such a controversial amendment. It would actually open it for some idiosyncratic interpretations by the presiding officers, whereby we would find that one presiding officer in this particular hold would find the child in need of care and protection, while if the presiding officer in the court next door the following day would find this very, very same child not to be in need of care and protection. Why? Because of the weight or sensitive.
I wish you pass that because you can clarify that and make your substantiation to what you have. Because you've got the number of other sources that you want to address yourself. But at the same time, we should have time to ask questions of clarity and other things that we might as members. So please,
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Okay. So, basically, I would like to say the other reason why this particular amendment should be rejected is because it does not address the current border care crisis that we have in South Africa. The border care system was designed to cater for about 200,000 children. Currently, it is about 512,000 children, and the foster care system basically can not help. It is actually collapsing. If like we look at the foster care system, we have about 1.5 million orphans who are eligible to receive the foster care grant. So if we are to say all the 1.5 million orphans should receive the foster care grant, definitely the foster care system would not cope because we have a shortage of social workers. The numbers of the social workers that we currently have in the country cannot cope with the current number of children that we have in the foster care system. So I would like to propose that instead of trying to amend Section 151, we should look at what has been proposed in the draft safety amendment bill, which was presented to us as the civil society in 2013. And the draft state amendment bill proposes that a certain category of children be catered for. It actually proposes the introduction of the kitchen care grant, whereby we are saying that instead of allowing these children that are in the care of relatives to go through the formal foster care system, they should actually have sort of a parallel system which would cater for their needs. Because what is currently happening is that the children that are in need of cash, that are staying with their relatives, are actually going through the foster care system in order to access the foster care grant. And this makes it very, very difficult for the social workers on the ground to keep up with the administration of the foster care system. So if we have a separate system in the form of a kinship care grant, which would be administered exactly the same as the child support grant, we would actually ensure that this category of children that are in care of relatives would actually be taken over by the Chinese care grant and they free up the value of social work time to work on the conventional foster care cases. Because what is happening currently is that social workers are actually not having enough time to attend to the cases of child abuse and neglect because they are busy attending to the administration of the foster care issues, which could be easily be done by SASA. Just like the way they are administering the child support grant. So I would like to say I wish the draft said the amendment bill could be urgently gazetted for comments and brought to Parliament so that we can look at it and see what is in the draft said the amendment bill. Because what we need really is a comprehensive legal social security system for the children, and that is only contained in the draft state amendment bill. In 2007, the Portfolio Committee on Social Development actually advised the Department of Social Development to come up with a comprehensive social security system for the children and also to look at the foster care crisis in the country. But now we are in 2015 and such comprehensive social security system has not been tabled and the foster care crisis are still continuing. We have a shortage of social workers and I think if what is in the draft head amendment bill could be gazetted, this could solve the problem that we have with Section 150. Right? Also, because of the fact that the foster care system is being overburdened, we have seen the lapsing of foster care orders, so I wish Section 150 could be amended so that it could also try to look at the reasons why such orders are lapsing, and the reason is because social workers are overburdened. So I wish what is on the draft state amendment bill could be urgently looked at. Right. That was my submission regarding Section 150. So I will now look at Section 152. I would like to support what is stated in Section 152. I support what is in Section 152, and I also support what is in Section 171, and I also support Section 176 in that it actually would open avenues for the children that are older than 18 but younger than 21. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. That was my submission.
And we welcome your presentation. Can you please do this so that we allow Honorable Members to ask questions or to make comments? Thank you very much. Like I wait for members to respond. I think as Department is here, they need to understand from this experience that not much is done in terms of actually taking their implementation processes to our people. I think we know that if I had an opportunity, I would spend a little bit of time with the members. Sometimes you might not really need a mention, but you can check what whether that is in place but not being implemented. So I think we need community, because every platform is a learning experience. Every person that speaks to have come to learn. Honorable Parliament, thank you for coming up.
Jefferson, no. I just want to thank the presenter for his presentation. I found it very informative. But again, Jefferson, I'm getting really worried about the issue of the lack of the adequate number of social workers in our country. Because the burden that social development faces and our country faces in terms of orphans, vulnerable children, clearly there's just not enough social workers. And it goes back to the issue of, you know, even the amendments we are envisaging here, whether it will actually be successful, whether it will actually be able to achieve the aims that we wanted to without the amount of good soldiers that we need. And in fact, you know, just recently social development applied to Treasury for extra money to be able to employ more social workers, and that was turned down. So I think really we've reached a point now where we are doing good work in terms of amending acts that will, you know, improve the lives of children, but do we have enough social workers to be able to implement all the changes we want and to be able to bring change to the lives of the most vulnerable children? So thanks again for the presentation, and I think you've highlighted some valuable points here for us to look at, and I think it was really a very insightful presentation. Thank you.
I do think that sometimes you look for amendments while the power is in your hands to ask why are we not implementing what is already there. Because I think the Honourable Member raises this concern of shortage of social workers. I don't think we need an agenda. What we need is to say, what is this portfolio committee going to do to actually take the note the department is here that you are saying indeed the most concern is that there is a burden on social workers. Social workers are the shortage. We've made your point in that one. All I was actually saying is that sometimes we must not repeat what we have done. The department must ensure that they know what we have said, so that when they come and report to the committee, they are able to say, because this gentleman was representing there, said this, how are we going to turn around the issue of social workers? Honourable Black. Oh, I'm sorry, Honourable Kote.
Chairperson, thank you. That is the person. Thank you for the presentation. It's very informative, and I think actually we need to applaud him. You know, if an individual comes to the committee in order to present what he wanted to do in the development of our country, especially of our children, we need to applaud them. Mine is not a question, but it's just adding to what you presented. Maybe first and foremost, as a member of this committee and being part of transformation of South Africa, we need to put in consent here when we talk about issues of foster care grants, issues of shortage of social workers, who we are and where we come from. We are only 21 years in democracy, taking Human Development Index people that is facing us, maybe separating it in terms of how many population we are, including children, those of immediate family, including children that are in foster care and that the ones that are maybe now in adoption. That's the first point. I think you are a master's student that you need to check. Chair issue, I'm not defending the department. I'm a member of this committee. There's the implementation that the government is trying to do. But let's check where we are now as South Africa. In terms of our social aids that are facing us. And those social aids, not even a single day, that if we employ maybe 11,000 social workers, they will go. We will employ, the department will employ 11,000 social workers today. But today, people like died. And leaving the children that need to go into care. You know, these are the things that we need to check, that whether this amendment will they address positive things that we want to achieve as a country or what. We cannot utilize issue of social workers, but we must come with a positive driven objective that needs to take forward. Whether we like it or not, unemployment is high. We know the threshold of HIV AIDS, the threshold of TB. And not only it, the illness are moving with us, Chairperson. We see today, we don't know how many parents died leaving their kids alone. I will say if Fulani died today, tomorrow they must employ another social worker to take care of Fulani's kids. we're trying to use a permitted system or a comprehensive social security system that would assist these children. But the most political is under internationalization of social workers or social workers as an individual. But I'm ready to put it into a multidisciplinary form, maybe on the social professionalism, to say it's not only social workers, but the drivers that are driving the issue of social transformation, especially of the people. So, Chair, yeah, that's all. But thank people for, especially on the issue of UAG. You know, going to the department or the drafters of this amendment, yeah, waging sometimes misleading. I'm not learned, but when I go through, I did open my iPad and take what people say. Let us come with the work that we know that in court, you know how legal people they are. They are very critical and sophisticated. And imagine when Larry came not even understand the wording, what is happening, they will just go with it. And where the venerable child is at the corner, nobody is understanding that child. So our law, our legal people, let them check issues of wording. That will make our distributors of the society, but not to exclude them.
I hope when you live here with people, you will know that when you debate, when you argue, there will always be a contradiction. This street has more debate and more arguments legally in practice and in our society. But I also believe that as people who are actually involved in training and in education, you must also think very hard about what we call integration of services. Because many things that we're talking about, for me, that also talking about primary health care services of the Department of Health, because the health that we have is supposed to be preventive and promotive. The Department of Health does not have to wait for people to be sick to go to hospital. You must come forward and show that we don't go the way you are actually experiencing today. So I think it's very important. And your argument will continue to be there in order for us to go and ask, what are you doing that this thing? Because next week we were supposed to have a meeting with the Justice Department to further make input in why we want to align with the Zimbabwe. We are this, the purpose of this is to align with the Justice Department. So they should come and also say something about things we have already said. And we'll be coaching to say, you as I said, the Justice does this. What is their take in that? So that we are completely integrated in our department. Thank you very much. Can I then call the next speaker? We are going a little bit, Yes, please finish. Okay. Do you want us to continue with your question? Okay, sure.
Thank you for an extremely insightful presentation. You proposed that section 151A, that visible means support, be replaced with abandoned or orphan and not in care of a family member. And then the solution is kind of that we introduce something like a kinship care grant, because the issue is that the family member might not have enough money to actually look after the child. In your opinion, is it possible that you can, you know, have a type of grant that brings together kinship care grant and foster care grant and bring it together as one type of new grant, or should it be two separate grants?
Of course, my question is around the same thing. But before I go, it's quite me to continue. Manish also, are you speaking about two separate grants? Because the second policy that kinship comes up, you know, during the hearing. So I think you should speak to it. And it's also really important, you know, to speak how you put the two together.
Then acting as an honorable chairperson, just my proposal for one of our next meetings in social development. I think it's going to be important for us to discuss the demand and for our social workers, you know, over a number of years. Because I think that is going to be important when it comes to tertiary. We have our proposal. We forecast this is what we want. And I think in that way it will be able to go through. Because the minister is looking at the moment of having one social worker in each ward. That is my proposal to our committee. Not you, so you don't need to discuss it. Thank you.
Thank you for your proposal, particularly the one around kinship grant, because my understanding there from what you're saying is that you're trying to take it away from the pressure that is already on the social workers, that we don't have to do the job. The idea would be to take it out of the foster care, away from the foster care issue completely, make it something completely simple, because we've already got caregivers available. They're already better just in the fact that they've learned. Now they just need the grant because of the practical idea of feeding people. So for me, I think we need to focus on that really urgently, because that's an immediate solution, because bringing social workers into the system takes time, not your money, but it's more the time and over. So a lot of people are falling through the cracks now, not in time to come. Obviously, the issue is because we're looking at solutions that keep needing more social workers. And that's adding to our problem rather than taking away. And then just for us as a committee, what are we doing about the fact that Treasury didn't put more money for social workers? Because we need it. And my understanding is that we as Parliament have some power there to actually do something about that. So maybe we need to just apply our minds to getting that done. Thank you.
Siyabonga Chairperson. Ndizawuthetha kumazwi abethetha ngu-honorable o-chief wekomiti. Ukuthi ekunyanisweni i-social workers kufanele okokubana sigcwale yonke indawo futhi siqashe ngobuningi because baninzi kakhulu aba bantwana bafanele ukuba babekile ezingegamake nabahlule.
So 10 minutes, because we want to begin a recording arrangement. Those who were up, they switch off. Can you try and switch off again? Uthole okokubana into eyenzeka emntwaneni or uthole umntwana enenkinga enengxaki kunzima ukubheka edolophini ukuyokhangela ezo social workers. Uthole ukuthi nabazali akunamali yokuba baqabele iiteksi. So ndicingbana kungcono xa zinoze zityalwe yonke indawo ngobuningi kakhulu kakhulu ezilalini. Apho ndibona ukuthi unzima bukhona kakhulu ngoba kaloku ezilalini i-transport okokuqala iyanqaba nemali yokuqabela le transport abanayo aba bantu bazine aba bantwana bahlukumezekileyo nabazi edama. Ndiyabonga Chairperson.
Can I play that role of a summer? Can I summarize or you want me to Okay, please do it for us. It's a please for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can add on what the chief whip of the committee has mentioned, we need money to hire many social workers so that the social workers can look at the offence or the children who do not have parents. Coming to the issue of hiring social workers, I think if they can be better paid so that they can be encouraged to do their work diligently. Another issue is that of scarce social workers in the rural areas. There are few social workers who are attending to the matters or issues in the rural areas. For instance, even if a child or an orphan has got something or a child needs a social worker, you find that the social worker is in town and sometimes the child does not have money to go to the town so that he or she can consult with the social worker. So they need money to go to the social workers. So I would really want that to be looked at. Thank you.
Can I allow the member to can I call the next presenter? Or you want to respond? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Yeah, the issue really is, yes, of course we need more social workers, but whilst we wait to have the adequate number of social workers, what can we put on the table for these children that are in need of the grant? Currently, like LD, I have indicated we have about 500,000 children on the foster care scheme and about 1.5 million children should be on the system. It has taken the department more than 10 years to have 500,000 children. How long will it take for us to reach 1.5 million children? It will take us about 20 more years. In the meantime, what would be happening to these children? Which is why I was saying to you, Honorable Members, we need a separate system. We need a kinship care system that could effectively deliver the money, the cash, that some of these children who are in the foster care system need, so that we can have the foster care system that could be preserved for cases of abuse and neglect, and then we can have a separate system specifically for kinship care grant, which would cater for these children that are in the care of relatives, which is why I was proposing that section 150.12 be amended to cater for a separate category of orphans but who are in care of relatives. These children really need money. They've already gotten the care. So I'm saying let's have a kinship care grant. That is an immediate solution to the foster care crisis that we have in the country. Whilst we work on how we get more social workers, how we increase the number of social workers that we have in the country, let us just work on the Social Security Act and amend it so that it gives provisions for a kinship care grant, and these children that could have waited for 20 years to get grant could immediately start accessing the grant. That's in the same way that they are immediately starting to access the child support grant. So I think it's good that we look at the numbers of social workers, but it is urgent that we look at the introduction of the kinship care grant. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Some way really comment, some way agree, some way adding what or no discussion. So can we, I think we can release you, but you are welcome to remain and listen to other senders. Thank you for coming to our parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members.
We go back to number one, Children Institute. Ms. Ranaus, thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Committee members. My name is Professor Shanaz Matthews. I head up the Children's Institute at the University of Cape Town. I just want to thank the committee for giving us the opportunity to present our submission this morning. And I want to take a minute just to give you a bit of background around the Children's Institute. As I've indicated, I'm the director of Children's Institute, and in fact, I do have a social work background. I haven't worked as a social worker for a couple of years, but I am doing research in the area. So I want to draw on some of my research as well as the research the Children's Institute has been engaged in over the past more than a decade. But just to tell you who the Children's Institute is, we were established, as I've said, more than a decade ago, and we're one of the leaders in child quality research and advocacy within South Africa. The mission of the Children's Institute is to realize children's rights through contributing towards laws, policy programs, and service interventions. And our focus areas are poverty, inequality, HIV/AIDS, infant and child mortality, violence, and abuse. So we conduct research in a range of areas with the aim of influencing policies and interventions. We've also conducted work relating to foster care over the past decade, and particularly work contributed towards understanding the challenges that faces the foster care system in South Africa. And to illustrate that, we've focused on particularly doing analysis of the evidence to defining solutions to challenges, exactly what people have been talking about in youth presentation now. And in 2012, we were commissioned by Social Security Directorate in DSE to investigate the challenges around the foster care system and to make recommendations to start looking at reform. More recently, I've conducted research into child deaths, and you can provide Earth and I mentioning this, but it's really important because it's starting to show us some of our failures. What I want to do this morning in our presentation is to predominantly focus on the amendment to Section 150, 1 of A, and this is looking at children in need of care and protection. I want to, right at the end, to really briefly touch on the amendment to the National Child Protection Register. So, if we're looking at the proposed wording, and looking at the amendment to Section 150, what I'm going to do this morning will probably give you a bit more insight into what people have been saying. So it's something that we really feel is important for the committee to engage with. And we want to start off by looking at the proposed wording of Section 150. It says, in the amendment, it says, a child is in need of care and protection if such a child has been abandoned or orphaned and does not ostensibly have the ability to support himself or herself. Now, it is our opinion that this is not a small technical amendment. The main problem with this amendment is not the word ostensibly. The main problem is the amendment would entrench the use of the foster care system as the preferred option for orphans accessing the foster care grant. The problem we are facing and what people have indicated to you already is that the foster care system is in crisis. And children are falling through the cracks and some children are actually dying. And that's what I'm wanting to draw on now is to look at from my research, what we are finding. So if we're starting to look at what is happening within the foster care system, we've got to start asking what is happening when social workers don't cope. And I want to give you some of those examples. So here we have, based on the work I've been doing around child deaths in South Africa, wanting to understand why and how children are dying, I started looking at exactly what are the circumstances of children dying in South Africa. Here we have an 8-year-old child who died of severe dehydration and malnutrition. Now, children shouldn't be dying of malnutrition in South Africa. But in reviewing the circumstances of this child's death, we saw that he was in the foster care system since the age of 1 month old. He was under the care of the social worker for 8 years. He presented to Children's Hospital in December with a designated case of child abuse. He was admitted for a week for his circumstances to be investigated by the Department of Social Development. The Department of Social Worker found the family that he was in foster care was fit to take care of him, and he was placed back in the foster parent's care. 2 months later, the child was dead. At autopsy, the child was found to be unfit and severely underweight. Now, I wanted to point out, he was 8 years old, weighed 90 kilograms. Looking at that child would have showed you. So any social worker looking at the child would have seen, actually, we have a problem here. How can that child be placed back in the care of a particular family? Not only that, you're placing the child with a cerebral palsy, but he was an ill child, and there was no evidence of any medical care. So what kind of supervision does that child have? Another case, and I know this is gruesome, but I think it's really important for you to understand the magnitude of the problem we're facing in South Africa. Here we have a four-year-old who presented to the Red Cross Children's Hospital with severe head injuries and other injuries at various stages of healing. So this is not a one case the child to do. The child died soon after admission. The history was the child was found in the playground by the mother's boyfriend unconscious. Interestingly enough, he says that the child had fallen off the scene, but there was no single playground when the SCS unit investigated. The child was known to the Department of Social Development from 2012. The case was reported as a report of abuse by the mother because she was alleged to have used harsh discipline if the child was argued was once physically abusive. 2 years later, the child died. The DSC had one contact with the family in the office. Is that sufficient to investigate this? Here we have another case of monitoring of children's care. An 8-month-old baby died of gastroenteritis. Now you'd say many children die of gastro in South Africa, but it should be preventable, isn't it? Here the child is in the care of the mother and was found unresponsive a few hours later. Post-mortem examination showed that the child had a fetal alcohol syndrome as well as being severely underweight. The concern for us as the child death review team was that the mother didn't seek medical attention prior to the child's death, and we wanted to know more about the circumstances of the child's death. We then also learned that the family was known to a child protection agency since 2008, meaning that the family was married for 6 years to a child protection agency, and the case was referred to a child protection agency due to the mother's alcohol abuse and questionable care of the children. Why I'm raising the case is that two of her children, whilst under the care of that child protection agency, had also died. And when we started looking at what was happening here, is that the social worker never had contact with the family, but had volunteered to a risk assessment. So I do think what we are seeing is that this particular family had three deaths that were preventable if the system was functional. So, what does this mean? It's really disturbing, because here we have children that have fallen through the cracks that should not have died. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm showing you really horrendous cases, but to illustrate that actually we have a system that's failing our children. And we have to start looking very hard at how we can improve our system. In short, the system, as people have said, is designed not to cope with the 5,000, just over 5,000, foster care children. In fact, it's designed to cope with about 50,000 foster care cases. The families who are in need of foster care grants. So what is happening is we are seeing that foster care is currently being used as a poverty alleviation strategy. And in fact, it's not. It should be providing for children with care and protection. And as the Children's Institute is submitting is the proposed amendment therefore encourages the use of a foster care system for poverty alleviation and not using it for what it should be. It's therefore important that we start looking at a comprehensive solution, as most of the members have indicated. And therefore it becomes critical that the amendment will not provide family members taking care of orphans access to timely and adequate social grants. The amendments will further fund our child protection system, preventing abused children from accessing state protection. And the amendment, in our opinion, is not a comprehensive solution at all, as defined by the 2011 ruling of our Constitutional Court, to attend to crisis in our foster care system. So, is the amendment in the best interest of orphan children, abused children, and neglected children? And our assertion is that it's not. The department will not be unable to influence the proposed amendment. And the amendment, in our opinion, is legally flawed, and it will lead to inconsistent application of the law. So if starting to look at implementation challenges to the proposed amendment, it becomes important for us to look at what will this mean. So if we look at the implementation challenges, people have very eloquently put it that we have a shortage of social workers. So, And the question we also ask is, do we have, what would be the cost of implementing this solution that's being proposed by this amendment? It would be at enormous cost, and do we have sufficient financial resources? So if we're looking at the costs in the foster care system, TICO has indicated that we have just over 5,000 children in our foster care system. 90% of these children are in care of relatives. Foster parents wait up to 3 years to get to find out their application for foster care grant is successful. In comparison to our current child support grant system, where if you apply for a child support grant, it's administered by foster and it takes around 3 days for the grant to be approved. Steve has touched on this as well in his presentation, but what I'd like to look at is just the growth pattern of the child support grant, foster care grant over the past 7 years. So what we see here, if I can show you, what we are seeing is that although we've increased the numbers of social workers over the past few years, we see that in fact numbers of children on getting foster care payments have decreased over the past 3 years. We're not seeing any increase, although we've increased the numbers of social workers. And I think it's really important to say, beginning to decrease the numbers of our children on the foster care grant, although there's been court moratorium on the lasting of grant orders. So if we're starting to look at foster and the pattern of, in terms of foster care grants, and this is what people have started talking about, is it possible to expand our current foster care system? So if we're looking at this particular grant, we currently have just over 500,000 children on a foster care system, in our foster care system, and on a foster care grant. You can see that it took us 10 years to get there, and by January of this year, it fell slightly to under 500,000, just about 450,000 children. But we don't know what the projected amount is of children that DSD is predicting to be on a foster care grant, and therefore it becomes difficult to make assumptions and assessments of how long it will take to reach that number. But technically, it will take longer than, it will probably take another 20 years to reach 1.4 million children that should be on the foster care system if we're targeting all maternally orphaned children. I want to go back to the question of social workers. Because how many social workers would we in fact need to reach the target? And we've discussed this a little bit. According to the Department of Social Development, in the affidavit in 2014, we need one social worker for 60 foster care cases. And our current number of social workers, according to the DSD affidavit, is that we have just over 5,300 social workers in the employment. What the department has calculated is to reach the shortfall, we need an additional 3,275 social workers. But in fact, the calculations are a bit off, and when we recalculate it, it's nearer to 4,000 social workers that we require to meet the shortfall. Okay? But if we're wanting to reach the targeted number of children that we're not currently reaching, and that's just to reach the number of children currently in our system. But if we're wanting to reach that shortfall of children, we need probably over 11,000 social workers just to meet that number of children. So what is the financial implications? Because it's really important to ask, what will this amendment cost? But we don't know that yet. All we know is that there is potentially, the department didn't provide us with projections of what this would cost, what the financial amendment would, implications of this amendment would be for the fiscus. What we do know is that if we're targeting an additional 1 million maternal orphans, that could potentially qualify, are we able to meet the financial burden? So what would the cost of additional grants be? Only counting orphans under the age of 18 if the grant is to be made available, so that is only if we're looking at children under the age of 18, we probably need an additional cost to the fiscus of about 11 billion annually. Just for this particular grant, and that's not extending it at all to any other categories or to the age of, not even if you're wanting to make it to old age groups at all. It also means that you will need higher operational costs in terms of social services, as well as court personnel, which we haven't factored in, as well as operational costs of foster care grants are administratively high on settler. So therefore, what we are saying is that using the foster care system to scale up social grants is not a feasible option, because our foster care system firstly is not coping, we don't have the required numbers of social workers, and thirdly, is our budget sufficient? So the consequences of the proposed amendment really is to entrench that orphans and their family members get access to foster care grants, which would mean that unable to access high-needs grants, and children will live in continued poverty for longer. It also means that our children that are abused and neglected are unable to be post-year sanitary in terms of needing protection services, and therefore at risk for further abuse and even death. I want to talk about the effect on some of the legal flaws in the proposed amendment. And the question we're asking is the proposed amendment necessary? And it's really important to look at this, because the memorandum to the amendment law suggests that the proposed amendment is required to comply with the Manana judgment, and it's meant to give effect to that. So is it necessary? And that's the question we're asking. However, we feel this is not the case. The Manana judgment provided the interpretation of Section 150 of the Children's Act. It did not set the clauses unconstitutional, and therefore there is no obligation for the legislature to change the law. Of course, the legislature can choose whether they want to change the law, and we agree that the current wording of Section 150(a) is somewhat unclear. However, the proposed amendment does not improve clarity, instead makes it even more ambiguous. The proposed amendment is also inconsistent with the objectives of the Children's Act, Social Assistance Act, because it actually violates the constitutional right to equality. What it does mean is, and I will continue talking about the flaws a bit further. So what inconsistent application of the law, I would like to highlight that the proposed amendment fails to give magistrates guidance on how to conduct what it could in fact mean. They've got to make interpretations of what it means to, does a child ostensibly have the ability to support him or herself, as my previous colleague indicated. And it did provide magistrates with discretion in this regard, and it can lead to inconsistent application of the law. It provides magistrates with that discretion that brings in judgment. As a result, some families caring for orphans will be able to access a foster care grant, while others who are in the same financial position will be unable to do so. This will lead to unequal access to the foster care grant for families who are in the same financial position, and it will violate their constitutional right to equality. Due to the problem that I've outlined in our presentation, we want to recommend alternatives to the amendment to Section 151(a) in the Children's Act. And the alternative, in fact, was discussed and debated at the Child Care and Protection Forum in Johannesburg in November 2013. So it's a proposal that we're putting on the table, but it has been discussed with civil society, and there has been some agreement around this. So, in terms of, instead of placing children who are being cared for by families into foster care so that they can access the foster care grant, we support the proposal to introduce, as Siko has mentioned, either a kinship care grant or an extended child support grant for families members caring for orphans. And what this means is that it could be a top-up to an existing child support grant and could be easily administered via SASLA, and therefore quick and easy to access. rather than against court procedure. And in fact, the DDG for Social Security could provide the committee with more information on the proposed grant because it has been discussed with him in various forums. So if you're looking at the proposed system, how that potentially can work, what we are proposing is that orphans who are being cared for by family members should be assessed by a social service practitioner, not a social worker, because simply we don't have enough social workers to do that, and could easily be ability social workers, also a child and youth care workers, in order for them to make an assessment whether the child is in need of care or protection, or whether the child is adequately cared for by a family member. And it could then be triaged out of the system, and easily the child could then be referred either to a designated social worker if the child's care needs to be further investigated, and if there's no question about the care of the child, it could easily be referred to SASSA for the grant application and easily be able to access it, or if the child requires any other form of support, to still be referred for counselling, but not necessarily into a court system. So what are the benefits of this alternative amendment is we have detailed recommendations in our written submission of how to drop section 150, and I'm not going to go through that now. You can have a look at our detailed submission. The alternative amendment would also require changes to the social assistance legal framework, and until the social assistance legal framework can be amended, we propose that the current version of section 151 of A should remain in place, and that we shouldn't be adjusting that. I know our presentation has been incredibly long, so if you want us to continue, we've got three slides around the child protection register for us. You can conclude here, and members can ask questions. Madam Chair.
We can continue with the three slides.
And I'll continue with three slides. According to the Children's Act, the default position is that all child offenders should be added to the National Child Protection Register. The proposed amendment to Section 120 introduces the opportunity for child offenders to make submissions to court as to why these or her details should not go on the register. This provision starts from the idea that just like adult offenders, all child offenders should go on the register, unless they can show good cause as to why they shouldn't be included on the register. However, according to the section, to the register in the Sexual Offences Act, it's a different story. The default position is that child offenders are not added to the register. They may be added only if the prosecutor has proved that the child is at risk, the child has been assessed by a probation officer, and the best interest of the child is being considered. And therefore we raise the question, why should we treat child offenders differently to adult offenders? There are, in fact, a number of reasons for that. Child offenders have the right to be treated differently from adult offenders. Constitutionally, as well as in international and African rights conventions, child offenders should be treated differently. South Africa has a separate justice system to deal with child offenders. Child sex offenders are not necessarily treated paedophiles. They are committing an offence and against fear and will not pose a risk to other children when they become adults. And we've got to understand that it's a different context completely to adult offenders, and that needs to be taken cognizance of. And therefore, what we do recommend is that we align the Children's Act with the Sexual Offences Act by excluding children completely from provisions in Section 121-6 and insert a new clause stipulating how a criminal court should deal with child offenders. I thank you for indulging me in this very long presentation.
Thank you very much for your input. Really, really very important for this committee. But I think it's very comprehensive and it has to, because it leads to various rationale why I'm coming with this type of alternatives. It's because of that informs. And I would want also to say, as you were actually commissioned by the minister,
the Minister and the Department have not gave us this report as a portfolio committee. So we're dealing with this committee, I mean with this report, a little bit informally because it has not properly been presented. It's a good thing, but our engagement is very limited in what you already know. And that having not been shared with us, I think there are also very serious concerns the committee lives with, because they also live in the society. And they have a wide range of experiences, especially Umamuso in the rural area. Because some of the very amendments you are proposing might not be very relevant in some type of community. And we must also take into cognizance that the population distribution in South Africa is also causing its own problems, because you can have people living in cities and peri-urban areas, and that you might say because they are congested in one place, they are more than those who are scattered, but scattered in a very, very wide area, but in terms of numbers. But when you allocate people, you tell the witnesses to think that they are few because you know the numbers are few, and you forget the distance that had to be traveled to reach them. So I think it's critical that this discussion is not going to be limited on the issues of amendments. And I've learned over here that lawmakers, like the members of parliament, agree and amend. But when the implementers start implementing, it's only then that the flaws start to be visible. But the duty of those who implement the law is to come back to the lawmakers and say, in the process, these are the gaps that we are identifying. But in a boardroom situation, and when you pass the law, it doesn't mean that that law is really, really 100% correct. It is going to be tested. Those gaps can only be identified visibly when the implementation starts. That's why Parliament is endless, continues to be there. Because those laws and the society is dynamic. It is not static. So even if the law was correct, but over time, because of the dynamism in social transformation, the society is going on transformation without necessarily being encouraged by anyone, but responding to their very existing environment, which also changes. They adapt, but in the process, you have to be able to go along and follow them in your legislation. Can I allow members to and make their input in whatever area they want in this one? Thank you very much. I say very much.
Actually, I think it must come first because I'm stupid. Thank you for presentation, Chair. It has good information. Someone is very right in your shop. And I thank for the referring especially to question 150. I think you follow what people just said, and it's an eye-opener to me. I needed that because there's a clarity, some of the comments, you know. Let me start with the issue of infrastructure. Your presentation did show us the pros and cons of it in terms of it decreasing and what the department is giving, the SASA and everything. My question to you as a civil society organization and dealing with these issues, how are you going to help the country in keeping space? Because I think we need to hold hands together, especially looking at the presentation, talking about the foster care system. If now in fact you have convinced me, I don't know if another speaker you can see the chair will make me not to be convinced. So you could talk about the foster care and the presenter now presented about the foster care system, especially when you come with the diagrams and numbers, you know, managing information. I think it's need to change that your graph showing us where we are, where we decrease. I don't know, Chair, as a committee, especially on this amendment, I think we need thorough workshop. You see now, because just it was a submission of organizations, and we are learning from...
Sorry, Honourable, please don't be interrupted by what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I think those comments will belong after now. But secondly, I've already pointed out that the report, they seem to be actually influencing their input, that report which we have not received. So it is important that the process is going to go the way, but it will be an internal arrangement.
Okay.
And can I request members, because you already wanted to go, please tell me. Most members have reported to be leaving at 12. So I think when you have your guide, please ensure that you are able to reach that stage. Honourable, if it's about you wanting to go, he has not been as yet, then let's just be in that arrangement that maybe we target 12. Thank you very much, and don't be interrupted. Thank you.
So let me come again on that presentation. They did talk about the numbers of the social workers. There was a slide that is plus minus 4,000, if I'm right. And my question is saying, your projection is national or is only per province? It's national. Are you saying 85,000 social workers? Foster.
So that's the social
worker
system.
Okay.
Okay.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine, Ombeda. I just want to know that. Or in the system, no. Yeah, in the law. Should person protect me? No, I just know. Thanks, if you're saying that to the issue of foster care.
I'll ensure that I do my
And again, one will need to come on the financial projection. Thank you. Since from a day before yesterday, you are the only organization that can talk about issues of financial projection. And I don't think that we can do anything without that. And for your presentation coming with putting on the issue of the financial projection, how are we going to do it with it? I think it's progressive, because we will only look at the law and changing the wording and everything. Forget that there's a fiscal that needs to come in, especially in implementing this thing. Then a comment thing will come under when you talk about the social, I won't say social work practitioner, but the social practitioner. I think in this implementation of this, it might not only be the social workers, in being a child health care workers, whether you're police officers, all the people that are forming part of the social field, especially in the presentation, say that it will be more important if the child health care workers are the ones that are doing training, but if the finalization of the process must go to the social worker, it can reduce the number that all of you are trying to say that we don't have enough social workers to deal with the thing. So, Nashe, that is a comment. I'm sure I'm going to meet others. I need to get there.
Thank you, Jessica. Now, I just want to earlier, because some members had to leave and we're pressed for time, and these presentations are very informative, but I wanted to make a suggestion in terms of going forward, whether we could maybe park our comments for when engaged with the committee and just ask questions of clarity, since we are very pressed for time. I want to thank you for the presentation. I was also concerned in the fact that we are again talking about a piece of legislation, amending an act, but we don't know whether we've got the finances. I think it's critical when one looks at anything, whether it's a new act or amending an act, making sure that you have the necessary resources to ensure that you're able to implement it. But, and it goes back to the issue of, for example, in the amendments, we now want to social workers to also take on the responsibility of doing adoptions. But again, we're not even sure whether Treasury will give us the extra money to get more social workers employed. So that is one of the comments. But thanks again. I think the elements of your phrase here are really thought-provoking, and you know, the issues around you know, maybe keeping the amendment or the act as it is, not amending it, and those sort of points are things that we will have to discuss as a committee. But Chief, I'm not going to leave early, just to tell you that. I'll stay with you.
So much. You spot on, because members tend to care to actually deal with internal matters that they would themselves work on, as to now that we have been given this information, how do we take it forward? But I think it is also legally correct that when we were dealing with the presentation, if the committee feels they can still recall that person to come back and beef up all and clarify issues, because this is an engagement towards the best bill, so that we don't have amendments. We don't have to amend every year. So we have a long-term view of what is going to take place. We also will have an opportunity to ask the department how they have been doing this social, comprehensive social security assistance, so as to find out whether they were doing it, despite it not being a gazetted or whatever. But I think there is a way I can see that some of the areas are being implemented. As to, however, because I think it also lies with the white paper, white paper implementation. And I think they are going to have a seminar on that. So that seminar will also be fast. I don't know how the members will find a way to go there, because our parliament is very busy. But critically, we could also have an opportunity to listen to the NGO society when they deal with this seminar. Because it talks exactly to many things that we are talking about today. So I think so. Honourable Dan?
Thank you. Yes, very briefly, just to say a very good presentation, and that we will take these things very seriously in our deliberations, and it will be very important to have the department there to discuss things, and the alternative amendments need to be a primary focus of ours, and we just commit to taking it seriously. And just to say, obviously the whole issue around social workers seems also to be a lot more complex than also just the finance. Things like, for example, the bursaries affecting people who actually are not suited to the work and those kind of things. So I don't know whether we can, shouldn't we be accessing some sort of research around that? Because we need to be doing the right thing with the money we get in order to get the kind of quality social worker that we need. So I'm thinking perhaps we've got a lot more work to do, and maybe you can guide us on that as where we start with that thing.
Also, another thing that we remember that we have not given each department an opportunity to give us the report on the conference of, was this conference, social workers. Because I think it does have information, because it was their conference and about their experiences and recommendations as to how best can we enable them and create an environment that is conducive to the maximization of their potential. So I think we need that so that when we amend, we also look into the possibilities of wanting to implement what they also have put forward. I think the WIP represented that in that conference. Thank you very much for your input. Mmefondi?
Siyabonga, Chair of Sins. Mna aphendisela khona. Kukindawo ethethwa ngumama kupresentation. Okokuqala nje ndiyayibonga ipresentation yakhe. Okwesibili futhi ndizibongela ndizibulelela okokubana ndibe kule komiti. Chairperson, ndiyayithanda kakhulu ngoba kakhulu kakhulu ndithanda abantwana, nkosi yam. Andithi ezinye ikomiti andizithandi okanye azizinto ibalulekileyo, but lena ikomiti ndifikelele kuyo namhlanje ndiyithanda kakhulu. Siyabonga. Ndimbeke mandenze kakhle ethetha ngefota chair. Bonakalisa okokubana sometimes sikakhulu kakhulu abantu bayithatha ngongathi yinto eluncedo kubo kwi-poverty. Uthole ubana ngokuna ayisebenzi ngokwendlela efanelekileyo phi kulaa mntwana. Bakhona yani abanjalo futhi baninzi. Kodwa ke, Chairperson, bakhona aba uthole okokubana
uthola le first sakhe ungumzali akasebenzi njena naye uyagula utya imishwanguzo akanandawo yokuhlala uyarenta so kunyanzeleke ke ngokunake uba asebenzise la mali okokuqala ndithetha ndithelela kwi-experience ngale nto ndikhuluma ngayo umama umncinci unabantwana abathathu omdala ne-3 years ngenisolo usebenzisa le mali yalo mntwana ohlukumeze o-disabled which is 1,400 rand lo mntwana wesikolo usebenza kule mali ngulo mama uyarenta kule ndlu ahleli kuyo kufuneka edonse i-electricity ngoba lesahleli kuyo ayinamgesi kufuneka ezame ukuthi kwamakhelwane athole i-electricity futhi lo mama ubhatala 150 lo mntwana ukhubazekileyo une-12 years kodwa usasebenzisa i-Netcare so umthengela kwakule mali zonke zizinto sethi ukuthi akayimoshi but imncinci for ezi zinto ndizibalayo bakhona ke nyhani abo bayimoshayo le mali uthole enalo mntwana kodwa ufumanise uba lo mntwana uhambaze akanakutya okubalulekileyo okuya egazini but lo mama wenza inwele mhle ngale mali alo mntwana omnye uyitya etywaleni kumashibhini ndithetha ukuthi andiyazi uba ingalungiswa kanjani ukuthi iqwalaselwe le mali le-fostercare ukuthi isebenza ngendlela eyiyo na qha andazi uba ingenzeka kanjani but isebenza kabini omnye uyisebenzisa enyangelekile engenachoice engenanto njengoba ndisitsho nje akasebenzi naye uyagula akanandawo yokuhlala ndiyabonga uchairperson wam enkosi
siyabulela mamsonzi thank you mamsonzi and I think you are spot on this department must confront exactly all these dynamics that are in our society and I request that Indavita comes on now thank you
Chairperson Chairperson thank you for the presentation and I think I love this department. The reason why I love this committee as much is because of the love I have for the children. The previous presenter made mention of the foster care, and I think people use this money for foster care thinking that it would lift them out of poverty, and you would find out it is not helping the child. The child suffers. In some instances, you would find that the parent is not working. The parent is sick. Sometimes the parent would be, or the person who is receiving the care grant is sick, and he or she would need the treatment or medication. There is no house, and she or he would need to rent the house. And all these things, or he would pay for all these things using this grant. In some instances, there is a child who is at school, and the money is only 1,400 rand that you get for the property grant. Sometimes there is no electricity, so he would have to connect electricity from the neighbors, and he has to pay money. Sometimes there is a child, maybe 12-year-old child, the disabled one, that. Disabled child is still in nephews, so the parent would use this money to pay all these things like nephews and electricity. Some of them are not wasting the money, but you find that the money is not enough. But there are those who waste it. Sometimes you find that the child does not have food. There's no food for child. Sometimes the child is without clothes. Some of them waste the money in the saloon. They will do their hair. They want to look nice. Some of them will spend it in the shipping. They bring the money. Now my concern is, what is it that we can do to make sure that
this money is spent properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what will be important, because I agree with the coming up to the briefing, that the department will have to come with a question. I want to hear it. Because in the last meeting, Lewis talked to it, and the department gave us at the same time. Won't say what they said. But the department will have to come with a paper.
May we come closer to your mind? I just said the department had to come with a book of. Because we asked them questions. You asked the question in one of our meetings. And they gave us a reply. That we're not going to tell you what it was. So I'm just making them aware that when they come back to us, we want the cost of the implementation of these amendments. Thank you.
Honourable Cook.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. And thank you very much for the presentation and making us aware that of the impact the amendments are going to have on the foster care system. The question I have actually focuses now more on foster care.
So please, ma'am, can you come closer to your mic?
So the question I have is actually now focusing more on the foster care system than on the Act. But it is, as we pointed out, quite interesting for me how many presenters have actually come here and spoken about the extended child support grant. I just want to have your opinion whether it would not be easier to just have a top-up amount on the existing child grant and then just pay that to all the children, because the amount of children that are not on the child support grant is not lost compared to how many are on the child support grant. Wouldn't that then be easier and actually solve the foster care crisis?
Also, because that's why I'm saying, with such complex and comprehensive matters, it's difficult to deal with one item, because it's linked to the other. That's why I allowed the organization. They actually put a little on what we are looking for, but broader. But I've since learned that it is because one problem causes the other. They are contributory factors. In which case we will be able to see, because it's the first organization or second one to say they are not for the amendment, or the amendment is totally not addressing. But you remember the others that were there, they were able to say it's on sports, they support it, but they also added these other issues as also counter, this progressive way that there will also be these headings. But I also do think that we need this information that says actually what is happening now. So do we really want to amend while we are implementing NPC, which was not yet reset? Because we find that in a complex situation like this, you can amend and cause negative to this one. Because holistically looking into the challenges that are out there and getting proper discussion, it will throw light as to how, because what you bring in, we are not talking about the existence or the introduction of early childhood development, which also seeks to put funds in the centers and also to extend the stay up until that mother who stays a longer time than she's been. That child will have had all the meals before is taken there back to home by that mother. So all tomorrow we'll have a bath, food, and everything in the center. So I think when we discuss, we must also tap in on what are the other upcoming interventions so that we can be holistically when we debate. But I'm not a good chair in terms that I allow other matters to come in. Otherwise, if I were to say, no, we're not talking about this amendment. No, others yesterday, the other day, even tried to amend register management, which was not part, but I was quite aware and allowed our people to say, because any information, will always contribute to better management. I'm therefore saying I agree with Honorable Chikok that the committee will have to be really aggressively dealing with the input, and then when we'll have to call some and say, this is what you said is important, but it was not passed. So I think I agree with the process going forward and also outline the committee. Can we say thank you very much, and I would like to add a word on something separate. Please don't leave without us talking to the issue of this unit that exists in tertiary institutions, because we also have children that they must motivate to be taken in those without a very big mark, because they know how affected they have been. I just want to address the word with them. Because there's a lot of children that could be better citizens and do well if given an opportunity, but the achievement now, scoring part of it, is a problem. I think those universities must be lobbied to view their scoring, given the fact that others would only have equal chance to foundation stages towards the best. So universities must not actually use their standards and block potential. I never did math. Never. But at least many other things that I did. I did my master's in the first world, and I was doing very well. And I didn't have the exemption when I was here. But basically over time and experience I was able to be the best student in Australia in doing my master's in health sciences. I'm saying we must now look into other experiences of such and not just block the doors for those who are not fortunate from at the beginning. Thank you very much. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Please pay.
I've got my colleague Lucy Dennison here as well, and I'm sure she wants to respond to some of the questions. But Honourable Kopp asked a question around the top-up of the child support grant and whether that potentially could be a solution. And I think what I want to point to the committee to is that we did a comprehensive review, made proposals when we did when we were commissioned to look at the options for the BDE for social security. And I think it's really important that the committee has access to that reporting to look at the various options that were proposed. And I would recommend that the committee call the BDG for social security to actually talk about it. And in fact, the whole notion of extended child support grant, top-up, and kinship aid grant has been explored within that document. In addition to that, I think I also want to just mention to the committee that the kinship aid grant or extended child support grant, in fact, has been mentioned by the BDG for social security in the medium-term strategic framework. So I think it would be useful for you also to ask him and to extend an invitation to him to come and present you on that. So I don't have a short answer to you, but I think, you know, we've outlined various options, and I think that needs to be weighed up to see what would be the best in terms of our practice.
Very the people who are commissioned must please come. Then the DTG will have to say, yes, he's here, sitting here, we reserve the right to invite you to come and present that support so that we know what were the recommendations. So I think in relation to what is happening now, our unfortunate situation is that we're a little bit behind because we don't have that information. We don't have those recommendations. So can you go ahead?
Madam Chair, there were some very critical questions that were asked, and indeed you yourself, when the department came to brief, asked the question, can we implement this bill? And the evidence that we have presented today comes from the SOCPEN database. It also comes from the department's own affidavit in court. This is the evidence that they have put forward, and it clearly says we cannot implement the laws that stand now. To think that we can open up the system further, it's a laudable objective. We want to provide financial support to struggling families. We want to give extra cash to grannies and kin who are looking after children that are not their own. But SASA is a very efficient body for dealing with grants. Social workers are an incredibly precious resource, and we need to use their skills to deal with the children who most need psychosocial support because they're not being cared for adequately or because they're being abused. We are expanding the social service workforce. We have an additional 7,000 child and youth care workers that have been registered. We've got social auxiliary workers. We need to share this load. Who talks about holding hands. The workforce needs to take on this responsibility jointly, but we need, unfortunately, to say that we are going to do things differently so that we prioritise getting the right kinds of support to children that need it most. So we need to find a solution that is implementable. Thank you.
Loud and clear, and more than that, the department is here because, importantly, we must check whether we need more money or we need to realign our programs as expected. So it's a big question that I can see where it is put that SASA is doing very well in giving the grant. But are we concerned about the grant and not the policy care of the child? Because you might have a very big stomach, very to an extent of being obese. But are you actually psychologically and emotionally and spiritually being cared for? So I think these are the hard questions. This one is giving us a very hard question. When I'm saying this one, I'm referring to the question, not the person. This one in terms of the question. So we will have to discuss these matters and check exactly where do we stand, but you are not standing in our road in terms of aligning sexual offences and so on. Your issue which is with this clause. So I must be clear when I go out that the other alignments and other things are not an issue. The issue now is actually this part of whether it's an adoption, whether it's a safe center or whatever. But where is this policy side, whether it's for social management of that? Thank you very much. I think members are happy to allow them to go. And can we call the next one then? The Center for Health Law, are you good? Oh, we're not there to that. If you could do your other while the other person works to try and get it, but you can still talk to us. Thank you. I can't see the members now.
Yeah, they just went out.
Okay, maybe I didn't give them any time to stretch their legs. I'm sorry. Yes, please. Then you can work on your...
Can I talk to you? Because I guess you go to human rights.